Good afternoon. I'm Mark Allen with Gaber.io, and I'm here today with Ambrosia Vertesi, the operating partner at Operator Collective. Good afternoon, Ambrosia. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Mark. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for joining us today.
So thanks for having me.
Oh, it's good. So to start with, can you share a brief background of yourself and your work experience?
Yeah, I am a people and technology executive. For the past 15 years, I've been growing and scaling SaaS software organizations around the globe. And so early stage is my sweet spot. I come in really under 100 employees and scale to global operations, 1,000 plus employees in multiple markets. And the last two that I did that with were companies called Hootsuite and Duo Security. And then when Duo was acquired by Cisco in 2018, I also helped integrating that. Alongside of those two areas as a people and operations executive, I also am the co-founder of HR Open Source, which is a community of HR practitioners around the globe. We have 10,000 people across 70 countries who are committed to sharing progressive people practices to try and elevate the field of people practitioners, but also organizations generally.
But other than that, you're not doing anything, right? You're just other than being an operating partner at one company and founding another organization with 10,000 people, you're really bored, right?
Yeah, just sitting at home, you know, with everyone else.
Wow. So on that note, why don't you tell us about the Operator Collective? What is it you actually do? And who is your target market and those kinds of things?
Yeah. Operator Collective is a venture capital company, fundamentally. And what the thesis is there is we bring together 100 tech executives as operator LPs, as investors, in addition to traditional investors, and put together a fund to deploy into tech companies as venture capitalists. But we put those operators into the organizations as well in some capacity to help them grow and scale their business as well. So it's a community as much as it is a traditional investor venture capitalist firm. So my job is going in and working with our portfolio companies to help them grow and scale their businesses, of which we have over 30 today.
Wow. And you concentrate on a particular sector, or are you sector agnostic and just good ideas?
We focus on enterprise, business to business, software as a service. So SaaS is our sweet spot. And those are the tech executives that come with us as well. So we have founders and leaders from Zoom and PagerDuty and Google and all sorts of organizations that we work to plug into our portfolio companies to help them build great organizations as well as great products.
Interesting. So would you actually take someone from like a Google and make them an executive at one of these up and coming companies?
It's more the network and advising. If it's more of a formal relationship in which they do an advisory role or come in as an executive, that's a possibility. But we're not actively trying to take them away from their day jobs. We're trying to bring them into the investor community because we fundamentally believe that what's been missing from venture capital is this operating talent. And often you don't see the head of operations or the chief technology officer in the venture capital world. And so for us, that piece was missing of operating executives, but we also are comprised of 90% women, 40% people of color. So diversity is a very strong pillar in what we look to build and the kinds of organizations we invest in.
Oh, very interesting. Well, best of luck with that. So we'll talk now about remote work, since that's hit all of us in 2020 and starting in 2021. And being in venture capital, that had to have a unique effect on you, because most venture capitalists like to go out and meet with the executives before they invest money, true? And I'm assuming starting around March, it was tough to get on an airplane for you, right?
That's absolutely true. I think with everyone else, we were a week away from a conference where we were pulling everyone together at something called Sasser Annual, which has, you know, tens of thousands of people. And we had to make the call right away that no events, everyone, we're going to have to find a different way to do business. It's venture capital is highly networking centric, mm-hmm. events, in-person event centric decision-making or kind of connection-based business. And so we've been managing virtually just like everyone else has been. But our team internally was already remote. So we had, I'm in Vancouver, Canada. We have members in San Francisco and Austin and other areas. So we were already internally geared towards being remote. Mm-hmm. It was just being able to, you know, like a lot of other organizations, being able to meet with our potential customers and other investors in a bit of a different way.
Interesting to call them customers, but
yeah,
your portfolio.
Yeah, they're our portfolio.
So, I mean, so have you actually engaged with any new customers since the, or portfolio companies since COVID, or have you basically concentrated on the ones that you already had under contract?
We were quite early in our fund. So we just hit our 1 year mark. And so we had a bit of a benefit of just having a small group to work from. And because they were quite early in their growth, it was a quick pivot for them. Mm-hmm. You know, organizationally, I think everyone had to make some decisions around distributed work and how they were going to support that and how they were going to hire. But we were able to still have deal flow, still take meetings, still take new investments without having too much triage on our existing group.
Hmm, interesting. And the other thing I was going to ask you oh my God, I just drew a blank. Hold on a second. Okay. So in the current environment where most companies are remote, do you take that into account that when you're looking to fund a company, that's one expense that they won't have, is they won't have the expense of a big office in a New York or a San Francisco or a place like that?
So far, we've seen that some teams have made a decision right from the beginning, we will be distributed and now we will grow completely 100% remote, which is a very big change from where we were 2 years ago. And some teams have said they will have a hybrid model. So we're seeing that a lot as well. I think having been a people executive and operations executive who owned facilities, I can definitely speak to the fact that it's interesting to not carry that operating cost as you go through and you think about scaling offices and location strategy and WeWorks and all the things that come with all that complexity. There's something that is appealing about that, but scaling remotely also has to have a level of investment as well. And so what that investment will look like, I think, is unique to every company, but it's as a person in Vancouver, I'm thrilled to see a decentralization away from certain markets.
And San Francisco and New York would probably be the two biggest for that, I would think. And I see it here in San Francisco. People are leaving, right? It's happening. And I can tell you from experience, my son left New York. He was living in Manhattan in June, and he now lives in Austin.
It's happening. It's been going. People have been home long enough that they are starting to make longer term decisions. And one of the things I'm seeing on the HR open source or the people advisor networks is really, what does that mean? Not just from a choose your new area and we'll decide on your compensation band, but what does that mean for work permits and internal mobility? So there's a lot that I think foundations are still being built on, but the technology advancement already in the market that we're seeing with startups has been pretty incredible.
Yeah. And so what do you think is the future of remote employment? And what do you think could be done differently to make it more effective? Because it seems to be here to stay.
I think it is here to stay. And I have been a remote executive for 3 years. Mm-hmm. And if you speak to executives or people who have worked remotely in the past, remote often meant, well, actually, I just live on a plane and I travel a lot. And, you know, I'm not actually at home most of the time. I'm going on site. And so I think that the future of remote work is here to stay. I think it is going to mature as our customer decisions mature and change and evolve with us. And I think that technology has a really important place to play. I do believe that there are teams that are very well suited and have already been living this to some extent, including technology teams, engineering teams, or field sales organizations have been remote for a long time. But there's a competitive advantage to a business if it can start thinking about its talent early and start getting ahead of all of these ideas of what does it mean to be remote globally. I think that is going to be a really interesting thing for us to tackle as years progress.
Yeah, and I think the key word there was globally. I mean, not just the US and Canada, because there's a lot of talent in other parts of the world, as you know. And I think people are starting to tap into that. Would you agree?
I agree. I think that there's at Hootsuite and NetDuo, a lot of our talent location strategy was driven by the go-to-market strategy, and we would go into regions a lot more aligned to that. And I think there's a bit, there's still alignment there, but I'm seeing from peers and networks a bit of a decoupling in terms of, well, if we're going to be distributed, then we can hire anywhere in the world. It's a little bit more complex than that, but there are talent markets that become available. In a way that maybe they weren't before.
And you see it more like, maybe a certain region of the world has a certain talent base, so you might have a distributed operation there, as opposed to we're gonna have a person in Singapore and a person in Africa and a person in London, that kind of thing. Or you think it's more geared towards a region for a particular expertise?
I think that each organization will have to make its decision about what it can handle internally and what it can resource. There are organizations that are trying to help with PEO hiring and remote hiring from like a legal and compliance entity perspective. But from a strategic perspective, I still feel as though depending on the team, there will want to be some kind of hub mentality where they have connectedness within their region. That seemed to be a really strong retention driver in organizations that scale globally. Is the opportunity to be part of the bigger picture, but feel connectedness where you are. And so we'll see, but I think it's going to be an interesting 24 months. I don't think we have all the answers yet, but I have no doubt that remote is going to be leading all of the future of work trends for the next few years.
Yeah, I would agree with you. Well, Ambrosia, I want to thank you for your time today. It's been great talking to you. And hopefully both of your operations thrive in the in 2021 and beyond. And thank you and have a great 2021.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Goodbye.
Bye.